I went to bed Monday night. I was a tenor. I woke up Tuesday morning, and I'm a bass. And it's been one of those things where I kept saying, well, maybe I should just call Dr. Beal and tell him I can't make it. And then I got to thinking, I said, no, this is a treat of a lifetime to be able to come to Ambassador. I was invited here a few years ago by Dr. Johnston, and he let me speak in his class. How many years ago has that been? He's like me, his time just gets away. But he was driving back and forth to Wilmington and helped us for over a year with our Korean work. He would leave here at 3 o'clock in the morning and drive to Wilmington and preach and then eat lunch and then turn around and come back to Ambassador to be back here with you. And right after that, he had a heart attack. He is a go-getter, and I thank the Lord for him. But he let me come speak in his missions class, and then he never invited me back. And I said, well, I guess there's a reason for that. And so I was thinking, I said, well, you know, I'll get to go and speak in chapel today, and I can use as an excuse, I'm sick. So if the sermon's not good, just remember I'm sick. And if I was well, maybe I could do better. I don't know. But I'm just glad to be here, and I'm very thankful for Dr. Beal allowing me to come. This is a great privilege for me. Your chancellor is one of my heroes. And when he came to Wilmington years ago, and was often in Wilmington, I always tried to get over there every meeting to hear Dr. Comfort, and what a workhorse he is. And he has crisscrossed America with the truths of the gospel that have not changed. And by the way, the truths of the gospel don't change. All this change you're seeing in America today is not necessarily truth. It's just change. And human nature, our flesh, desires change. Be careful what you're changing to. A friend of mine, I won't call his name, out of respect to him, he had his God in the wrong place. He was worshiping a man. And let me warn you fellows of this. Men are men. That's all they are. Don't put them on pedestals. Because if the pedestal falls and the man falls, then if he's your God has fallen. My friend had a big church, I'm talking about a large church, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And he was one of those fellows that worshiped a man so much that his whole preaching was like that man. The fellow that I'm talking about was Dr. Hiles. Dr. Hiles had a sinus condition. And, of course, if you ever heard him preach, he would preach in it all the time. And a lot of people didn't go to hear him preach. They went and counted his coughs. See how many it was. I loved Brother Hiles. But when trouble came at First Baptist, it destroyed my friend. And he took his church contemporary. He had no sooner made the move that he realized, I have messed up. Once you start down a road, it's hard to turn around. Be sure if you're going in a direction, it's the direction you want to go in. And he ended up resigning his church. Brother Beal, sad thing is, here was a fellow who had a Christian school, large bus ministry, big church, and I was walking through Dillard's one night, and I met this security guard, and it was my friend, no longer in the ministry. a night watchman at Dillard's. But I say to you, I wept. Tried to talk to him. And his words to me was, Brother Shepherd, we're different. We didn't used to be. We used to ride the same horses, preach the same gospel, out of the same book. But he changed. Be careful, fellas. I said to Brother Beale today, the problem with America today is we have too many places we can go to for knowledge. I don't read behind modern day thinkers. I am told that there's a fellow out in California who now has become a millionaire with the commentaries that he's wrote. I've never read one of his commentaries. He is a national speaker on radio. I don't listen to his program because he and I are different. And why would I want to waste my time listening to things that I'm going to be in conflict with? I just love to hear good gospel preaching. And it's amazing that I was thinking coming over here when you hear Oliver Green, he's as current as today. And I remember when he died, I was a disc jockey in a Christian radio station. That was back during the days when we had records. You all remember what a record is? And we had to put them on the turntable and we'd spin them and get them just right. And then we'd flip a little switch and couldn't have any dead air. I was doing that after I started Peace Baptist Church. We were meeting in a Cape Fear hotel, and we only had 20-some adults. So all the money that was coming in, it was taking it for me and my family. And so I said to the church one morning, I said, we're not getting anywhere. I'll support my family. We'll save the money and buy a piece of land. And I went to work for a Christian radio station at night. I ran a gas station in the daytime. I go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, open up the gas station. I would work till 11 o'clock in the morning, go home, go to bed. My wife would get me up after 4 hours, and I'd get ready. I'd go back to the gas station, and I'd stay there till it closed. Then I would go to the radio station, work all night long. This dear old lady would call me about 3 o'clock in the morning. The record would be going, ksh, 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 ksh. And she'd say, Brother Shepherd, have you gone to sleep again? And I had. I'd fall asleep right there as a disc jockey. And I did that for years. During that period of time, we bought a piece of land. We bought a 4-acre tract of land, 4.4 acres. We gave $18,000 for it. And my dad said to me, he was living at that time, he said, why did you buy way out here in the woods? We were 7 miles outside the city limits. Brother Johnson will tell you now, we're in the city limits. They've moved all the way out to where we are. And the land that I gave $18,000 for 4 acres now sells for 1.5 acre road frontage, $1 million. And that's what's happened to Wilmington, Brother Beale. It has become a city that has grown from 40,000 to now it's in the city limits is 90,000 in the little community. The little area, it's 220,000. And the majority of the people came from up north. And I'm not against northern people. It's just that they're different than we are. And all they want to do is change things like it was back home. And I keep wondering, if it was so wonderful back home, why did you come down here? But that's all you hear on the radio. You know, we did it this way back home. Well, you know, we've never done it that way in Wilmington till now. And so now we've started doing it that way. And our roads are like Charlotte, packed. We don't have the big roads like you've got in Charlotte. We just have two-lane roads. And it's bumper to bumper. And the folks in Wilmington don't know how to drive. And so just going 4 or 5 miles, you'll see two wrecks. And it's usually, you know, it's usually two young people who can't get out of the way of the old people. And there you watch and you see all this stuff going on. And you think, what in the world? Can't these people drive? The next thing you know, you run into somebody. And so it's bad. But I love Wilmington. God put me there. And I'm trying to bloom where I'm planted. And I'm about to run out of time. And so I hired an ambassador grad, Brother Jess Long, and his dear wife, LaVonda. And they have been such a blessing to our church. Not only are they young, but they've got energy. Pray for Brother Jess, though. You know, he has MS, and he struggled with it this summer. Heat and MS doesn't go together. But we're just very thankful for them and thankful for what they bring to us, what they learned right here at Ambassador. And having them on staff has opened up the door so that we've had several from Ambassador come down and do youth camps for us and preach to our youth. And I'm amazed at the quality that you have here, Brother Beal. I'm blessed. And I think Christianity is blessed because of Ambassador College. Jesus, while here on this earth, only built one thing. We often hear about his preaching. The Gospel of Luke tells us very simply that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. So we have the idea that the whole ministry of Jesus was about reaching the lost. But if you have that idea, you're wrong. The majority of Jesus' time was spent training men to take the gospel into the world. He invested himself in 12 men. And those 12 men, as you well know, just moving Judas Iscariot aside, turned the world upside down. Or as one preacher said, he turned the world right side up. Because the world's always been upside down. But the message that they brought was a message that gave men something to live for and a work that changed people's lives. It's called the New Testament Church. And I hear a lot of folks today that don't understand the importance of the church. I was saved in church. When I was a small boy, before I can remember, Mom and Dad carried me to church, and we were there every Sunday. It was not a thing where there was a question about what are we going to do today. We knew what we were doing on Sunday. And It was not long before a preacher came and he preached the gospel. I did not know that he was preaching another man's sermon. And fellows, you won't hurt yourself by reading great sermons. But he was preaching a Billy Sunday sermon. And he used a lot of the theatrics that Billy Sunday did. If you've ever picked up one of the old books of Billy Sunday, you'll know that he actually wrote in his sermon, "Break the chair here." And he would outline all of that. I mean, there was nothing that was left to chance. And this fella must have had his book because he tried to break our chair and he couldn't. And that got my attention. But the thing that really got my attention was he was preaching about Ahab and Jezebel, and the dogs are on your trail. I was from the country. I knew what it was to go hunting. My granddad had a deer dog. I don't hunt anymore, folks. I feed deer out the back door. I go down and buy bags of corn and throw it out there. And somebody said the other day, said, "Brother Shepherd, you could shoot one of those deers." I said, "Don't shoot. No. I don't want to shoot nothing." And I feed the deer, feed the squirrels, feed the coons. All that stuff comes up to my door. And we talk together. And it's fun time. But Granddaddy would turn the deer dogs loose on the deer. And the dogs would go running. And then somebody would shoot. And it would cripple the deer. The dogs would be after them. That's the reason I don't go hunting. I can't stand to hear anything. If you've ever heard a deer, when it's wounded and the dogs are after it, he sounds just like a baby crying. I heard that one time. I said, "I can do better than this." And I quit. Now, if you hunt, that's fine with me. I don't care. But I heard that sermon about the hounds being on my trail. I went home. God began to work on my heart. Brother Beale, I was 12 years old. I'm ashamed to tell that because so many people have the idea that 12 years old is the age that you're supposed to do everything. But it was just it was 12 years old when I heard that sermon. And God began to work in my heart. We were working in tobacco that summer. And my preacher was a farmer. And he brought us a Pepsi Cola and a moon pie at 9 o'clock. Now, if you've never worked on the farm, you just don't realize that that's the way the whole day goes. You get Pepsi Colas and moon pies at 9 o'clock and at 3 o'clock. And if they don't bring you a Pepsi Cola and a moon pie, we went on strike. That was necessary for us to keep working. And so he brought us the drink, and we stood there beside the John Deere tractor. It was one of those that goes putt, 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 putt. And I said to him, I said, "You know, I hadn't been able to sleep for 2 nights." And he said, "What's wrong?" I said, "That sermon." I said, "I go to sleep, I keep hearing them dogs." He said, "Rudy, I believe you're under conviction." Now, I was raised in a Free Will Baptist church. Don't hold that against me. Dr. Malone was saved in a Methodist church. He became a pretty good preacher. So I think you can get saved in these places. I've been saved 200 times. Because in the Free Will Baptist Church, you can get saved, and then you can get lost. And then you can get saved again. Then you can get lost again. And It wasn't hard for me to get lost because I was mean as the devil. But here I was under conviction. And I said to my preacher, I said, I can't sleep at night. He said, Wednesday night, you come up and you accept Jesus. So he preached. They sung, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. And as soon as he announced the song, I went to the altar. Nobody went up there with me. I wish they had. I wish somebody had taken the Bible and showed me what Jesus did for me. Nobody did. But I got saved. I know I did. You say, well, how'd you do it? I prayed four words. Lord Jesus, save me. Now, I know a lot of my independent Baptist friends say you can't get saved like that. They say you got to repent for a long time. You got to really be sorry for sin. And then you got to pray a certain way. And if you don't say all these things, you don't get saved. And nobody told the Lord that. And he saved me that night by mistake. And I'm thankful that he did. Because my life suddenly changed. And we went down to the country store. And I was standing in the store. Remember, nobody came up, talked to me. Preacher didn't ask me what I did. Nothing happened. We just left and went home to the country store. And so I was there in the country store. My uncle owned it. And I bought a Pepsi Cola and a pack of Lance peanuts. Now, I know y'all don't know a thing in the world about this stuff. You have never had the best stuff in life. You take two drinks out of the Pepsi Cola. Got to be two. Two swallows. And then you pour the peanuts in the drink. And then it'll start fizzing with all the salt. And you drink that. And so I'm standing in the country store and I'm drinking my Pepsi Cola. And my preacher's wife came up to me. And she said, I'm going to pray for you. That was the only excitement that there was when I got saved. One person said, I'll pray for you. I went home from the country store and I told my mama, I said, Mama, I got saved tonight. And my mama said, that's good, Rudy. Get ready for bed. And I went to bed. That began my walk with the Lord. Not sure of what I got. Not sure of how long it would last. I struggled. That year God called me to preach. 12 years of age. I went to my preacher. I said, I believe God's calling me to preach. And he said, well, that's good. He said, you just go ahead and get your education. If God's really serious, he'll let you know later. And so, that's what I did. I drifted away from the Lord. Nobody took an interest in me. And at 18 years of age, God said to me again, I got a job. Went off to college, graduated, took my first church. Didn't know how to lead anybody to Christ because they didn't tell us. All of my professors were from Duke University. They were educated beyond their brains. They didn't believe that this book was the Word of God. And they kept telling me, you know, you need to go down and get your Oxford Annotated Bible. We preacher fellows, we used to say an Oxford medicated Bible. We never bought one, none of us. And I took my first church and didn't know how to win a soul to Christ. And a little Presbyterian fellow down in Florida wrote a book, Evangelism Explosion. And somebody gave me one. And I got to reading that thing and I got hungry. I was pastoring a church. Didn't know how to lead anybody to Jesus. I took Evangelism Explosion. In the back of it, it had a whole sheet of verses you're supposed to memorize. And I started going door to door. About that time, 1971, somebody, I don't know who, but somebody started sending me the sword of the Lord. And it came every 2 weeks. And I'd be standing at the box when it would come. And I'd get it and go back in and sit down and I'd read it. And Dr. Rice was talking about people that was winning thousands of people to Christ. And so I began to hear about where he'd be preaching and I'd go hear him. God began to do something in my heart. About that time, I really got concerned about our college. And so I went and I talked to the college. Didn't do any good. So I brought a motion on the floor, the denomination that quit supporting the college until they came in line with what the Bible was teaching. That was my beginnings of my Waterloo. I did not know that my old preacher friends were as liberal as they were. And so one of them that day walked out and said, Brother Shepherd, said, don't you do anything you'll be sorry of. And I said, okay. And so I went back home and I talked to my wife. Always talk to your wife before you do anything. She's smarter than you are. And so I talked to her. And we prayed about it. I took my credentials off the wall, rolled them up, put them in an envelope, 2-page letter. I sent it to the ordaining board. I told them I quit. 2 days later, I got a certified letter. And that letter, I knew what was in it, but I didn't even open it. I told the postman, I said, I don't pastor that church anymore. Just tell them you don't know where I am. And so they sent it back. That was when I made my decision. I went to see a little independent Baptist preacher. He was an old man. His name was, I don't even know what his name was. It was B.R., last name Lakin. And I sit down with him and I said, Dr. Lakin, what am I supposed to do? I've left my denomination. I've left my church. What am I supposed to do? He asked me, he said, how much education you got? I told him. He said, go back home. Buy you some good books. Start reading them. Start knocking on doors. 1975, I became an independent Baptist. Started knocking on doors. Man, what a time. I have now been pastor of the same church for 42 years. I love my. And the amazing thing is, two of them love me. I mean, it's great. I mean, we got a mutual thing. I love all of them, and some of them love me. But we have fun serving the Lord. We have fun. And I began to realize this is what it's all about. Jesus built the church and left it here on this earth, and the church is supposed to do something. We're supposed to reach the world. And B.R. Lakin used to say, there are no small churches. Because every church has been told, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So you may not have but a few people, but you got a big work. And as Mr. Moody said, the world is my parish. Every person you meet is a possible convert to Jesus. The church is an institution, it is. The church is a local assembly, it is. But the church is also the body of Christ. And as such, the church has been left here to do a great work. When I think about the church, I think about what's written in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Now, Brother Bill said I had 2.5 hours, so we'll just get started now if you're ready. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, we use this for the family. We talk about husbands and wives. But I want you to notice it's not about husbands and wives. That's an application of the text, but that's not the interpretation of the text. The interpretation of the text is very simple. Verse 32 says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This text is about our Lord's church. And when I read about the church, first thing I read in verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Do you know the local church has a head? The Pope said way back in 1800 and something that he was the head of the church. He's not the head of nothing. Jesus is the head of the church. And the headquarters of the church is not in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's not in Nashville, Tennessee. It's in heaven. And our head's coming back one day to take over planet Earth. And I look forward to that time. The church has a head. When I think about the head, I think about it's not a man, but it's the Lord. The Lord who gave himself. The Lord who called his disciples. The Lord who trained them. The Lord who sent them into all the world. You know, the Gospel of Mark says, preach the gospel to every creature. My heart breaks today. Through FBN, Fundamental Broadcasting Network, Brother Ebern started. If you've never met Brother Ebern, he is a miracle man. 85 years of age, still going strong for the Lord. Had a vision back in 1988 to build a radio work, and now that radio work is heard in 44 cities in America and in other cities that it broadcast into from that city, but by internet, he's now preaching around the world. And so one year after he started, he called me and said, would you like to have a program on the radio? Now remember, I was a radio disc jockey. I love radio. And here was a preacher giving me a chance to have 15 minutes a day to do what Jesus said, preach the gospel to every creature. By means of internet, this old rough voice is heard around the world. Of course, they put me on at 6:30 in the evening. That's when people are watching the news, so I can't do a whole lot of damage there, right? But you know, it's not 6:30 everywhere at the same time. And so I just try to envision in my mind while I'm sitting in the church office doing my broadcast that I've got a whole house full of people listening. And I try to envision their faces and preach to them through that microphone. Jesus said, do it. Not only that, but I began to realize that not only is Christ the head of the church, but did you know that Jesus is also more than just our head? For notice it says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The church is subject unto Christ. We're supposed to do what he says. You know, he gave us our orders. He gave us our commandments. And in America today, we don't know what it is to follow orders. And for the first time ever that I can remember, Brother Beale, we just turned a man loose who disobeyed his orders in the military and caused his comrade in arms to have to go look for him. And some of them were injured trying to save his sorry hide. In World War II, in our little community, there was a man by the name of Henderson. He had a wife and two children. They sent him over in the army, and he ran away and came home. They came looking for him. They found him. He was laying between the mattresses. They got him and arrested him. And they sent him to the front lines. He never came home. Somebody said, what happened to him? He was killed in battle. How was he killed? Nobody knows. Was he killed fighting, or was he killed by his own men because he was a traitor? That's what we did. There's a lot of traitors in the church today who are disobeying their Lord. And he has told us that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then what else does he say? Love your neighbors as yourself. We're to love people. And fellas, a lot of y'all are going to be preachers. And you girls, I don't think y'all are going to be preachers, are you? If any of you decide to, read the Bible first. It'll help you. Do you know, fellas, the Bible says if you're going to be successful as a preacher, you're going to have to love your people. That's where a lot of preachers go wrong. You think your people are supposed to serve you. The word minister means servant. You're going to be their servant. That's a job, in serving people. But not only that, Christ is, he loves his church. Did you know that? Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. He loves the church. There's many times in 42 years that I thought about leaving. Times I was discouraged, times I wanted to quit, times I was despondent, times I thought somebody else could come do better than I was doing. But you know, one thing always came to my mind. There might be a lot of fellas who can out-preach me. There may be a lot of fellas who has more Bible knowledge than I do. I don't know of anybody who can love Peace Baptist Church like I do. I love our people. Being there 42 years, I've married some of them. Now I'm marrying their children. And if their children keeps getting older, I'll be marrying their grandchildren for long. But you know, I just thank the Lord that I can be their pastor. Fourthly, Jesus cleansed the church. Notice it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. By the word, make much of the word. Tom Malone's church ran 5,000 people, one of the greatest churches in America. Emmanuel Baptist Church. When I started Peace Baptist, I wanted to name it Emmanuel Baptist Church. But there was already an Emmanuel Baptist in Wilmington, so I couldn't use that name. Now that church is closed down. I could go back and use it now, but I've fallen in love with peace now. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace has become a part of me. But I think about the great Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan, and you know today it don't exist. And one of the reasons it doesn't exist is because the preachers who followed Dr. Malone didn't love the people. They love their computers. You cannot build a church sitting in a study. You got to get out there where the people are. You got to knock on their doors. You got to hold their hand. You got to cry with them. You got to love them. You got to look for their children. Not willing to give yourself 100% to the ministry, get out! We need men who are dedicated. Jesus loved his church and he cleansed it. Then verse 27 says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. You know what's going to happen one day? I was reading the book of the Revelation, and it talked about the New Jerusalem. And I began to envision the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is made out of something like glass, jasper. It says it's clear as glass. That means you can look right into it. You know who lives in there? The bride of Christ. Jesus is building a city for his bride to be on display. I love my wife. We've been married 54 years. My memory is not as good as it used to be. I keep saying, Brother Beal, Brother Beal, Brother Beal, because if I don't keep saying it, I'll forget who he is. I said, what's your name? Brother Surratt said, we've met 3 times already today. And that's true. We older fellows, we have to keep saying things. I say to my wife, I say, honey, don't be gone too long. I'll forget who you are. And Jesus loves his bride. And he wants to put her on display. For the whole universe to look at. Because you know what? He gave himself for her. Jesus died for me. One day he's coming back for me. Number 5, it's presented to Christ. Number 6, it's nourished and cherished by Christ, verse 29. And then verse 32 says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. 42 years I've pastored Peace Baptist Church, but it's not my church. Friend of mine who was a wealthy man came to me almost 40 years ago. And he said, Brother Rudy, you're my best friend. And he was my best friend. He said, but you're the stupidest man I've ever seen. You see, I've spent all my life, 42 years, building something that one of these days I'll die. My family won't inherit nothing. They won't sell it and give it to them. My wife's not going to be taken care of by them. The day that I quit being pastor, the relationship between Peace Baptist and my family, other than their attendance at that church, will be over. Because it's not my church. It's his church. Fellas, we work for him. And one of these days, I just want to hear him say, if he can just say, thou good and faithful servant, I'll be happy. I'm glad you're working with us. Give it all you got. Surrender everything to him. Let's stand. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Dr. Ron Comfort. What a great evangelist. You saved him. And you used him. Thank you for Dr. Beal. Following Dr. Comfort's footsteps, he's faithful. Oh God, give us faithful men. And here today, boys and girls, men and women, just starting out, we're excited. We're going to turn the world upside down. We're going to serve the King of Lord, Lord. We're going to take the message. We're going to see people's lives changed. Lord, help us. Just to be faithful. Love people.